Hi, very good afternoon to everyone. Can I have a show of hands who is here for the first time? Anyone here first time? Okay, right, welcome to you. Alright, so there's some behind as well. Okay, alright, so let's turn to God's Word today. And before we do that, we'll start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord in heaven, we thank and praise Thee for all that Thou has given to us. Lord, we know that this entire day is created by You, and the reason we are sitting here today, it's by Thy will and by Thy power as well. And Lord, You just pray that illumine our hearts, help us to learn of Thy word, and peradventure that some of us may not know of You, Lord, we just pray that we would come to salvation and to know You as our personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so today, my message today is very simple. It's titled, The Only Door, The Only Savior. And it's from a simple verse that you read just now, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. And I'll just read it for you again, for some emphasis, so that we can actually set the stage. So it says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. And this verse here, it's a very simple verse to understand in the Bible. One of the easiest verses to understand, actually, especially in the King James Bible itself. And many of you here come from the Philippines. And in the Philippines, I understand that you all like to have a lot of congregational like gatherings and outings at each other's houses. And then you'll have many people come over, and then there'll be a time where you'll have a guitar, like how Christian is actually playing guitar just now, and strumming, and you guys will be singing a lot of hymns and songs together. It's something very common in Philippines, and you all go to the sari-saris and, you know, get some of the Coke and Fanta and you know, like, there's Lechon, Manok, and so on, right? Yeah, so it's all these sort of food that's on the table. Yeah, so these things are very characteristic. It's something which all of us understand. We go to each other's houses all the time. We open our houses to other people, and they come inside. And what's the one thing that we always do? We enjoy and conversations over food and drink, right? We have, let's say, in today's society, very Americanized, we have pizza. It's the easiest to order, and everyone eats pizza, right? So, very easy to order as well. So, this is something that we do on an occasional basis every time when people come to our houses. But today I want to speak of this opening of your house. But this house is not the house that you have in a physical sense. It's not like the HDB you have in Singapore, not like the houses you have in the Philippines, not like any other landed property you might have. Not any type of house. The house that I'm speaking of is your heart. So your heart itself actually has a door. And it's something that you might be thinking to yourself, how does my heart have a door? You know, like it might have a valve there, but it pumps out blood, but there's no door there, right? Yeah, but we all know that we allow certain people in our hearts. These people are our friends. These people are our people that we trust in our lives. And especially so, our heart itself is something which it grows, it evolves and changes every day. It's not static. Sometimes it feels certain emotions, and it also connects to the brain. The brain sometimes gives and makes and tells the heart that, hey, you're feeling this wrongly. Think of it logically. So our heart itself actually has a door, and it has a certain impact on how and what we actually receive in our lives in the heart itself. So in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, there are three things that we see in this verse itself. So the first thing that we want to see is, who is knocking? Who is knocking at your heart's door? Right, this is the first thing we want to examine. The second thing is, what is the response to the knocking at your heart's door? And then the third thing is, what happens next? What happens next after the knocking at the heart's door and how you respond? So let's look into the first thing. Who is knocking at your heart's door? So if you read verse 20, it says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. So who is this I? This I here is Jesus Christ. Christ himself is the one that is standing at the door of your heart. And he is knocking. He's knocking at this door. And why does Christ, how you might ask yourself, why can Christ actually stand at the door and knock? Because Christ himself, he is God. And more so other than he is God, he died for our sins. It's because of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins 2,000 years ago, that we are able to obtain salvation. We all know that our hearts are desperate. deceitfully wicked. That's what the Bible says. And we know this for many things in our lives. We know that we think evil thoughts all the time. And we know that even from a child, you do not teach a child to sin. That child would know how to sin himself. So we are all sinful by nature. And we need a Savior to actually come into our hearts. A Savior who has died for us to save us from our sins. So this is that who. Jesus Christ is himself knocking at the door. And what I want you to see from this knocking is that this, when Jesus Christ knocks at the door, he doesn't open the door himself. Although Jesus Christ himself, he might be God, he might have all the power, but he knocks. Because today, he knows that we ourselves, we are human beings. We are individuals with the ability to choose. Today, we choose many different things in our lives. You choose to come here today to listen to this message. You choose to maybe come to Lucky Plaza. You choose to meet your friends here. You choose to what to eat for lunch or dinner. We make choices all the time. And Jesus Christ knows that. He knows that we make the choice in this thing we call free agency. So he knocks, and he knocks at the door of your heart today. And the next thing I want you to see is the second question. After Jesus Christ knocks at the door, what is the response that we should have? And it says in verse 20, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And it says here, if any man hear my voice and open the door. So before we go to open the door, before that, it's if any man hear my voice. So many of you here, you might have listened and understood about Jesus Christ before. You definitely have known about Jesus Christ, especially those of you who are from the Philippines. It being a Catholic culture, Jesus Christ himself is something that you probably know, and that he's the Son of God. But the thing is that in this verse itself, it says, if any man hear my voice, if you hear his voice, what is the next thing that you should do? What is the response? And the response of each person here should be that you should open the door to Jesus Christ himself. And after opening the door, we answer the third question. So the third question is, what happens next? What happens next after knocking and the response? Which is this, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And so this is what Jesus Christ, when he goes into the door, into your heart's door, he says, I will come in with you and will sup with you and he with me. And you might ask me, what is the point of this entire verse itself? But this verse itself, what it's trying to say really, the focus here is on the third part, which is how Christ will sup with you and he with me. And that is the point of this entire message today. The point of this entire message today is that when Jesus Christ comes into your heart, there are a few things that come about. One is the peace of God. And this is something which I want to illustrate today. So if you go to John chapter 14, verses 22 to 31. John chapter 14, verses 22 to 31. So in John chapter 14, verses 22 to 31, could I have it on the screen? So it says in verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. So Christ here says that he will manifest in front of you. He will show his presence to you. And then it says in verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? And so how does God actually appear at the door, at our heart's door today, to even knock, to even go inside our heart's door? So in verse 23 it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. And so here, this is a parallel to what we read earlier, where it says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and make our abode with him. So the same idea is here, that Jesus Christ knocks at the door, you open, and He lives, He dwells in your heart today. And here, this is where, when Jesus Christ knocks at the door of your heart, how do you respond? Would you reject Him? And there are many times in your life where you might have felt the call of God. You might have felt Jesus Christ knocking at this door. And then what is your response? Do you open the door for Him? Or do you actually just ignore it? Because if you ignore it, Jesus Christ will continue to knock. He will continue to knock and continue to knock. But there will come a time where He will stop knocking. And it is the same as this meeting itself. You might hear of Jesus Christ, you might hear of salvation, but if you do not, if you leave this room and if you leave this place, there might not be a chance anymore. Jesus Christ might stop knocking at this door of your heart. And so the response that has been given here in verse 23 is, if a man loved me. So if you really love Jesus Christ, you would open the door and let Him come into your heart itself. And so in verse 26 of John chapter 14, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And in these two verses, what God in Christ is saying here is that after God, and after you love God, and God loves you, and He comes in your heart, and abides in your heart, what He leaves with you is this thing called the Comforter. And He leaves with you this thing called the Holy Spirit that lives in your heart. And what is the result of the Holy Spirit living in your heart? It is peace. It is true peace that the world cannot give. And so, as Jesus Christ knocks in your heart today, and if you love Him, if you respond to His call, and open the door, and He says, "I will sup with you, and you with me," what is the result? It is the Holy Spirit that dwells in your heart today, and gives you this peace that the world can never have. And today we find ourselves in a society where peace is not around. We find that in a very macro level, you see China and US, they are fighting over tariff wars. And I recently came back from China, and you can see the tension amongst the people. And the news reports, they're full of just attacking the United States of many different things. And you see that this creates fear. When you read the news reports, you also read about how in Lombok in Indonesia, earthquakes happen. And when you read all these things, you find that you're robbed of that peace in your heart. You feel fearful, you feel terrified. And if you, what's going to happen next? What if this thing happens tomorrow, that happens to me, happens to my family? And this is something I realized as I grew older, that there's this thing called depression, mental illness. And these things are very real. Because I had a senior of mine who was doing very well in life, doing very well in terms of studies, doing very well in terms of many things in life. But one day, we found out that he committed suicide. And this shocked me, because it only happened 2 weeks ago. And it shocked me even more because 3 days ago, I was actually having lunch with him. So all these things shock us, it terrifies us. And we feel that we don't have the control, we feel that we don't have the peace. And when that happens, we know that there is one person who gives the peace. And how does He give the peace? When He knocks, when you open the door, and He comes inside, and then you have the peace in your heart. That regardless of whatever happens, whatever it is, whether it's a nation rising against nation, wars coming up, earthquakes, whether it's personal issues, things regarding even the mental state that sometimes we don't really understand, we cannot fully comprehend, we have one person that we can look to, and that is the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, in our hearts. And that's something that I want to really go more into today. So if you look into verse 27 more carefully, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. And so if we dig deeper into this verse, we will realize a few things. The first is that Christ is the one that gives the peace. When he actually enters the heart, when he stops with you, when he dines with you, he is the one that gives the peace. Second, it is not as the world giveth. It's not the peace that this world giveth. It's not that when the United Nations say that today we're going to sign a peace treaty between a nation and a nation, and it's going to happen. But we all know that it's going to happen for a short while. It is not real. It is not something that will last. But this truly lasts because it's not what the world gives. And then after that, he ends with this: let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. And if I were to push this entire thing forward and to really help you understand this, is that when Jesus Christ says that I will stop with you, what does he mean? He means that he is God the Son, he is God himself, eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, saying that I am here into your heart and I will spend time with you. And that's what the entire Revelation 3 verse 20 says. I will spend time with you. God, who is so powerful, is going to consider us as sinful men and yet spend that time with us. And that peace comes about even more as you grow as a Christian, especially those who are Christians here. That peace grows even more each passing day. And there's a hymn that says, sweeter as the years go by. And it's true, because when you start to have this supper with Jesus Christ, and if we were to call it another term, we call it fellowship, right? Fellowship with Jesus Christ. How do you have fellowship with him? You have fellowship with Jesus Christ by reading his word, by praying, by talking to God each day. And when that relationship deepens, that brings peace. That is the thing that will bring peace to your life. Because you talk to him, you tell God that I have these problems. These trade wars, I fear them. These mental illnesses, I fear them. These things that happen to me, to my family members, to other people around me, I fear them. And I entrust all of them to you. And it is this relationship that you will have when Jesus Christ comes into your heart. And I want you to turn to another part of scripture. And if I could have this on the screen as well. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. And this is a very familiar verse here. And if you may not remember where this scripture text is from, you may remember what this entire verse is trying to say. So it says in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And then in verse 30 it says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this is what Christ is saying when we have fellowship with him. So when Christ knocks and when you open, and when he starts with you, he has fellowship with you, you are going to him. Although he comes in our heart, we are coming to him. We are all us who have labor, we have heavy laden. We are passing all these cares on him himself. And he is bearing it for us. And when that happens, we take his yoke upon us, which is light. We take his yoke upon us, which is easy. And then we will find rest in our souls. So that is what happens when we accept Jesus into our heart itself. So, in John chapter 14, where we talked about the peace that God gave, if I could give more context in that position, in John chapter 14, what Christ was actually facing at that point of time was, he was before he was going to the cross of Calvary. And at that point of time, Jesus Christ himself, he must have been feeling very lonely. He must have been feeling very, and even very down. And to the point that it culminates to the point where he actually goes to the cross and says, God, God, why has thou forsaken me? And the anguish that Christ at the point faces is something that we cannot fully understand. Because when Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, it is an extremely complex thing in a thing to understand. Meaning that he himself had no sin. yet he chose to die for us. That's something we can understand really. Secondly, when Jesus Christ went to the cross to die for our sins, God the Father had to shut his grace from Jesus Christ to allow him to take on the burden and punishment for all our sins. And that something is extremely full of anguish, full of pain. Imagine you as a human person, you have to sacrifice, let's say, someone else for a greater good. And what more, your own son? And what more right now, this is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God, who has everything in this world. And he's doing this just right for you. And despite the fact that he has done all these things, he has so much power. He says in John 14 that I have the peace. I have the peace. Even though I'm facing this entire thing as both 100% God and 100% man, I face all these things. I understand the emotions. But yet, I have the peace that will help me and bring me all the way to the cross to die for our sins. And with that, that is a huge example that we can follow. Because today, what are our sufferings compared to Christ? Nothing. Can we fully understand what God faced at the cross? We can't. But we know that it is lower than that. But yet, even though it's lower than that, we feel so much anguish. We feel so much suffering. We feel so painful. But yet, God says, I give you that peace. That peace would tide you through this entire thing. So, if you are not a Christian today, Jesus Christ himself, he died for you. The immensity of it that has been shown. How his love for you is so great that he is able, without sin, to take on the sin for you. But yet, he is humble. Yet, he knocks at the door of your heart. And he asks, will you let me come inside today? Will you let me come and be the savior of your life? And there's a song in Christmas that we like to sing in this church. It says, my heart, your Bethlehem. And it is my prayer and the prayer of many here that if you are not saved, that if you do not know Jesus Christ, that today you get to know him. You know him as Savior and Lord. You know that he has died for you and for your sins. Can you make your heart his Bethlehem? A place where he will reside in and he will sup with him and he with you. And this will give you perfect peace. And this peace itself is not just only on earth. Because in Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, it doesn't only speak about earth itself. The book of Revelation speaks about heaven and earth and what is going to happen in the last years. And what we see here is that when Jesus Christ says that I will sup with you, it's remnants of or foretelling of something that's happening in the future, which is heaven and earth. And in the future, if you go to Revelation chapter 7, verse 16 to 17, Revelation chapter 7, verses 16 to 17. And in these two verses itself, this tells us about the dining that we'll have with Jesus Christ above, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And in verse 16 and 17, this is something which will comfort your hearts. Because it says here, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. And verse 17, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And today you might be feeling very lonely. You might be feeling, even as a Christian, you might have the peace of God, you might have the Holy Spirit, but you still feel emotions, you still feel that, why are these things happening to me? But we can look forward to this, because when God dwells in us, and when God dwells in our heart, he dwells with us for eternity. And it is something which brings us to the hope in verse 17 here, that God will wipe away all tears from your eyes. And so, finally, I just want to conclude with this. It's a very short message, because I think that it's something which we should focus only on salvation itself. And I want to tell you this story to end this off. It's a story of in the Middle Ages in Europe itself. And it was rumored that there was a king who didn't believe in God. And there was a king who always wanted to persecute Christians. And so it was There's a folklore of this Christian who actually was caught giving out Bibles, and then he was presented before the king. And then the king asked, "Are you not afraid of anything in this world?" And then the Christian said, "Yes, I'm not afraid." And so the king said, "What if I take away all your titles? You were reverend so and so. You had this position and education in society. What if I take them away?" And the Christian said, "Sure, you can take them away. These are not important to me." And then the king was very bewildered. He thought, "Wow, these things are very important because I'm king. I spent so much time actually getting that position. Why are you not concerned?" And then the king said, "What if I take away your family from you? I imprison your mother, I imprison your parents, your wife, your children. And if I don't imprison them, after that, I will kill your entire lineage and make sure your generations do not exist anymore." And he said, "No, I'm not afraid of it." And the king was still very bewildered, because even after titles, family is very important. Things that you actually care about, it's very painful, but yet he's not afraid. And then the king said, "What if I take away your life and you cease to exist anymore?" And then what the Christian said is that, "I'm not afraid as well." And so the story right now, I just want to tell you this, is that why is this Christian not afraid? It's very simple. It's because a Christian knows that the king cannot take away this most important thing in his life. And what is it? Jesus Christ. You can pluck out the heart of a Christian, but you cannot pluck out Jesus Christ from the heart of a Christian. And so I leave you with this today, that this is the best thing in this world that you can ever have. When Jesus knocks at the door in your heart, why don't you answer? Somebody's knocking on your door. It's Jesus Christ. Why don't you answer? Why don't you answer that call in your heart and have this thing that nobody can take away? It's not riches, not position, not even your life. Nobody can take away from you. And in the Bible it says, "None shall pluck you out from the Father's hand." Nobody. And this is something which gives you the peace that passes all understanding. So if today you want peace in your life, if today you want this joy that will give you more than what anything in this world can offer, Christ is actually knocking. Why don't you answer? And all we need to do is very simple, right? Revelation chapter 3 verse 20. That's why this verse is very good. It's a very simple verse, because it is a representation of Christianity. It is very simple. All you need to do is to go in simple faith and believe in Jesus Christ. And after simple faith, to have this fellowship with Jesus Christ himself, this obedience and fellowship with him. And then from this fellowship itself, this is where you get peace. That is that simple. So I hope that if you today can say this prayer in your hearts, there's an ABC for it. There's an A, which is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and believe in Jesus Christ, and confess. When you see, is confess your sins before him. And although this prayer itself is not a magical formula, please do not go home and say this prayer and then think it's a magical formula to become a Christian. It is not. But it starts from this confession, where you really say this prayer with conviction in your hearts, that this is something that I really believe in Jesus Christ in. And then when you see the fruits in your life change, which comes about when Jesus Christ enters your heart, when he sucks with you daily, when he dines with you daily, when you talk to him daily, when you have prayer with him, you'll find that you will become more like Jesus Christ. Right? And this is something which we face in personal life as well. When we eat with our friends, when we spend more time with certain people, we become more like them. We actually even talk like them. And we even follow their behaviors. Like, you know, if they say a certain slang, or like, you know, maybe if you talk more to me, you'll say la as well. Yeah. Yeah, so these are things. When you spend more time with Jesus Christ, you become more like Jesus Christ each day. And then that peace will start to form in your life. So why not today you come, you accept the knock of Jesus Christ into your heart. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord in heaven, we just pray and ask thee for thy strength and for thy power, Lord, and that Lord, Thou art merciful unto all of us. Lord, if any of us are not saved, Lord, we pray that Thou art use us and Thou art enter into our hearts and that Lord will accept Thee as our Lord and Savior. And Lord, we just pray that this is the most important thing that we have in our lives, more important than even our physical life itself. Because we know that this is the reason for our eternal life. And it's only when we believe in Jesus Christ can we obtain this eternal life. And Lord, we pray that we will not reject Thy knock on our heart's door today. We pray that Thou art, even as we go home, back in our different places, that Thou art use us, the Christians, use us to reach forth and to evangelize the many people around us. And that Lord, Thou art help us and give us all Thy strength in these coming days. And Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.